Well, good evening, Harvest family. Yeah, run, 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 Pat. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Oh, who got a nap this afternoon? I got a short nap. Good, good. Those are power naps. Those short ones, we have to call those power naps. Well, glad folks got some rest and ready to go tonight. Looking forward to our study. I'm getting excited about next Sunday night already as I study to prepare. I'll share a little more of that toward the end as I close out our study tonight on the local church. Folks, bottom line is, we need to understand and realize or be reminded is that the local church is the main thing. I mean, we need to make sure we're putting the right emphasis on the church. We make up the church and the power and the glory of the local church. It's the people within the church that carries out the functions of the church that God gives us in the Great Commission. So looking forward to with our continued study on the local church.
God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
Have your Bibles tonight and hopefully you have a handout. If you need a handout, just let us know. We'll pick up where we left off here a couple of weeks ago, Matthew chapter 16. Again, it was such a blessing to have Brother Humbert with us this past week, so I'll do a brief little recap, and then we'll move right on. And as we run out of time tonight, I will carry some things over for next week. But so glad you're here tonight, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, as we continue our study on the local church. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Let's go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 16, and we'll begin reading. Let's go ahead and begin reading. And we'll just read verse number 18 tonight. I have some other scripture to go with it as well. Verse 18 says, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Father, bless the reading of thy word tonight. May you be uplifted and glorified. Thank you for the time of fellowship we've had so far with the testimonies and the music. Lord, what a blessing, what an encouragement. I pray that you help us to continue to have that song in our hearts and a testimony on our lips. And now, Father, help us tonight, Lord, as we take some time and study your word. We ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And a couple of weeks ago, we asked the question, why is the New Testament church invincible? And we said because of the transformed nature of its membership. We said because it is established upon divine revelation. And then we said also because of its dynamic relationship to Christ. Now, in striking, we'll go a little further tonight, just have one point. But before we get there, in striking metaphors, Jesus compared Christians to light, to salt, to water, and to fire. And he told us that we have the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, what can light, salt, water, and fire and keys have in common? Think about that just for a moment, and we'll share a few things with you. What does light, salt, water, and fire have in common? Well, first of all, penetration is a common denominator in each of these words. Light penetrates darkness, and it disappears. Salt penetrates the meat, and it is preserved. Amen. Water penetrates the ground, and a harvest springs forth. Keys penetrate locks, and doors are opened. And fire is dependent upon penetration for survival. Think about that for a moment. The Church of Jesus Christ is God's penetrating force in our society today. And we should ask ourselves, is our church on fire? Are we as a people on fire for the things of God, the force that is needed to penetrate and get into this world, that we might share our faith, that we might share our testimony, that people might not just hear us speak of Christ, but see Christ in our lives? And as Christians move in society, we are again to preach the gospel and bring the world to the foot of the cross the best that we can. The church, here's our first couple blanks here. The church that has this dynamic relationship. Think about that. This dynamic relationship to Christ is invincible. When we have this dynamic relationship with the Lord, we are invincible. We are a penetrating power. And that means we don't come to church to play church. You know, our kids play mommy and daddy when they're growing up. They play other games, and they like to have tea parties, and they're just playing. But, dear friends, when we come to the house of God, we need to remind ourselves, we're not just playing church. We are here to worship Him. We are here to praise Him. We are here to be that penetrating force that God wants to use to penetrate into this lost world that we might make a difference in their lives. Here again in our text verse of verse number 19, number 4, the only point we'll have tonight and several little things to go with it, because of the unique way in which it does its work. Why is a church invincible? Why is it so unique? Because of the unique way that in which it does its work. See, a true New Testament church depends on human responsibility. Let me say that again. It depends on human responsibility in carrying out the Great Commission. God has chosen to use men and women, boys and girls, to carry out the Great Commission through the local church. And believe me, I believe everything should be under the local church. Every ministry should answer to the congregation, to the pastor, to the leadership of the church. We are functioning New Testament church, and we are to move forward in unity together in the same direction. Notice again in verse number 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Here our Lord is speaking to Peter. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now these terms here, bind and loose, were very common Jewish legal phraseology, meaning to declare something to be forbidden or declare it to be allowed. And we make sure, I disagree with some of our Catholic friends, verse 19 does not give Peter a divine mandate for the papacy. Peter only claimed to be an apostle by gift and an elder by office. However, the keys were used in the book of Acts as a symbol, as we notice this, we'll see this again in the book of Acts, to open the door of the gospel to different people groups, as Peter did to the Jews and as Paul did to the Gentiles. And right now, to be honest, in our world today, with America, we are made up of a lot of different people groups. And so sadly, I have a friend some years ago, Brother Rick Pooler, when I was in Bible college, his church that is established in Jacksonville, Florida, their pastor left Jamaica to come to America to start a church. Other countries sending missionaries to America to reach Jamaican-speaking people. And right now, the culture, they speak, hey, Ma, it sounds like a different language, but it's the same. But what I'm saying is we have other countries sending missionaries now back to America, where we used to be sending missionaries to them. It's a blessing to know that we're sending out and they have the gospel they've heard, and some of them coming into America and even other countries to meet some of these people groups. And God has opened the door and given us an opportunity right here in our America, right here in America, in our portion of Maricopa County, from all aspects of life. Boy, I was thrilled this morning when Faye's cousin came in from Arkansas. I could hear that twang in her voice when she came in. We have all different groups of people here, right here in our country, but we have one gospel. And we need to make sure that we're sharing it with those who come in here to our area. Again, these keys are that symbol to open the door. The New Testament church, which demands human responsibility to carry out the Great Commission, centers upon people as the object of its ministry. People. A lot of us preachers like to say that if it wasn't for people, I'd have no problems. But if it wasn't for people, I'd have no ministry. You know, we're only human. We're going to make mistakes, including here, starting with your preacher. But people are the object of the ministry. Couple blanks here. Every worker should be evangelistic. Every leader of the local church ought to be evangelistic. Every member ought to be evangelistic. We ought to take the opportunity. It's why we've ordered these tracts. It's why we've ordered these little flyers, these little pamphlets, these little cards to give out, to leave at a restaurant when we have a meal, to leave at another table on our way out, or to invite someone, to do all that we can to let folks know that we are here and we're all about ministering to people and reaching others for Christ. Our marching orders are to be sharing the gospel to those that we meet. I know that we won't have an opportunity in every situation. I know sometimes it's pretty obvious of the cold reception that we may gain. But you know, I've learned over time, for those who reject the gospel, those that aren't very friendly, after a period of time when we show ourselves friendly, we do our best to be a friend to them, that God begins to open their heart, begins to soften that heart, that we might have an opportunity to talk with them. Let me ask you before we move on, how involved are you in the ministry of winning people to Jesus Christ? Only you can answer that question. Do we look and do we pray for opportunities? Do we say, Lord, give me an opportunity? I believe with all of my heart there's been a lot of sowing. There's been a lot of people who have heard the gospel, and that ground has been turned just a little bit, and people are beginning to soften. And the Lord just might use you to bring in the harvest that's already been prepared. But we need to continue to do our parts. See, God is not impressed with buildings or programs or budgets, but God is impressed with people. Are we doing our part? For God so loved the world of people so much that he gave his only begotten son to die for that world of people, which include you and me. And God is not willing that any of these people should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, the church that winneth souls, the Bible says in Proverbs, as Daniel, is wise. The church that winneth souls is fulfilling the Great Commission. This type of evangelistic church will be on fire, will be exciting. And dear friends, I know without a doubt that God gives the increase, but I want to challenge you and remind you and encourage one another about being evangelistic, about taking the opportunity to share our faith, to be friendly as we have an opportunity, standing in line, our neighbors, the community that we live in, making sure that we share our faith, because God uses and builds men and women and boys and girls through the local church. Immediately after announcing how he would build his church, Jesus explained that he must die and to be resurrected. Notice verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. You see, not fully understanding, Peter objected to what was taking place. Jesus rebuked him and then announced the eternal principle for building a great filled, spirit-filled church in verse 24. If any will come unto me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I think so much about being an effective witness, so much about being an effective Christian, so much about being an effective friend to the lost that we might reach them is that willingness to deny self. That willingness to say, Lord, okay, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to allow you to use me to be a tool in your hand. See, the church is invincible when we deny self. This means that we enthrone Christ as we dethrone self. Christians should remember that we are never blessed. Now, don't misunderstand me, spiritually speaking. We are never blessed until we bleed. Think about that for a moment. Are we really, in some way, giving up of self, just bleeding out all of myself? I want to be totally yielded to the Lord and give him my all. Lord, you are mine, lock, stock, and barrel, however you see fit to use me. See, Jesus taught that self-denial is a key that opens the door to success in the Christian life. The Christian life is a sacrificial life. I was going to share a testimony tonight, and I was so pleased to hear all the testimonies. I'll do it another time and rehearse, but I was going to share a little bit about the aspect and sing the song, I Surrender All. Let me encourage you once in a while to open up your hymn book and go through some of those invitation, what we call songs. Boy, just, I surrender all to thee. I mean, just totally giving the Lord everything that I am. How much do we love the Lord? How much are we willing to give them sin? Lord, I surrender. I'm not talking about the illustration I gave several weeks ago of throwing in the towel. I talk about waving the towel to surrender unto the Lord. Lord, I am yours. I fought and I ran and I battled with the Lord as a teenager. I fought and I ran and I battled with the Lord as a young adult about surrendering the ministry. I was willing to do everything else but to preach. Oh, Lord, you've made a mistake. I'm no good at public speaking. I'm still not. I butcher the grammar so often. I have to go over my notes and spell check and grammar check sometimes. And sometimes I read a little more from my notes. And sometimes I get away. And you can tell when I get away on my own that I'm not tied to my notes because it's a whole different person. But I tell you, it's amazing what the Lord can do as we yield ourselves to him. I had my eyes set on baseball and doing other things, but the Lord had something else. But I'm so grateful that I come to the point I decide to say, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I surrender. Whatever you want me to do. And dear friends, once we become fully surrendered, there's no limit to what God can do through us. Jesus taught that self-denial is that key that opens the door to this success. In the book of Luke chapter 9, and verse 23 is kind of another word is added here. It says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Folks, I don't know about you. I've decided a long time ago, I can't live the perfect life. I can't live the life the Lord wants me to live. And looking into the future, I just have to try to do it one day at a time. It's like the old butcher said, how do you eat a whole cow? One steak at a time. And that's how I try to encourage other men and others, Christians I talk to that are struggling. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about next week. Don't worry about the end of the year. Just live it one day at a time. And dear friends, if we can just live for the Lord one day at a time, lay down that night, get up the next morning and say, Lord, man, I'm going to do it again. Just one day at a time. A life lived in the constant hourly awareness of the demands of God and the needs of others. Think about that. The one who lives a life of these demands of God and the needs of others is more important than the mere moments of sacrifice. When we make the sacrifice, we're giving of self that we might serve someone else. Isn't it worth giving up a few extra hours of sleep? Isn't it worth giving up a little more time of TV? Isn't it worth giving up a little more time of whatever hobby or game that you play to say, I'm going to start dedicating a little more time of prayer for my community, prayer for the surrounding area around my church, all these new buildings, apartments that are being put up, and saying, Lord, begin to turn the ground for me, that when folks move in and we have the opportunity that they'll be prepared to hear the gospel. See, one of the greatest needs of our time is for living, breathing, biblical churches. Living, breathing, biblical churches. This past week, I'm not going to go into all the details. Our brother Daryl Leonard sent me a clip of an email of things that are taking place in some of the churches and things that are going on. And we thought, wow, as you look at this, I don't see God in this. I don't see any presentation. I don't see any repentance. I don't see any of this going on in this type of presentation in a church. Folks, we're going to have churches popping up around us. We've got a couple. This is called Church Row here on this corner and some around the corner. And I even went online, and I'm not going to call out names tonight, but I went online and watched some of their online services. And I saw a lot of fluff and a lot of stuff, but I didn't see any content concerning Jesus. And that's what concerns me today, because there's so many young people out there that are going somewhere to be entertained as opposed to going somewhere to be fed and to hear about the Lord Jesus. That's why we want our music and all we're going on. We are here to not to perform and entertain, but to minister to people, to reach them. The Word of God and the music should have words that mean something, that minister to the heart, so that when the preaching comes, the heart is prepared for the preaching of the Word of God. Boy, it is so important. And again, one of the greatest needs of our times is for living, breathing, biblical churches. Guess what, folks? Help me go. We are a living, breathing church. We need to stay biblical and true to the Word of God. We need, let us rise up and go forth with boldness to declare ourselves servants of the living God. Let us rise up and pray and repent so that we may again see what the psalmist cried out. What he said in Psalm 63 and verse 2, I see thy power in thy glory, so as I've seen thee in thy sanctuary. Dear friends, I ache on those Sunday mornings when I get up early to have some time in prayer early in the morning before I come to church, say, Lord, would you do something in our midst that you've never done before? Would you do something in our midst, Lord, that maybe many of us have never seen before? Lord, would you do something in our midst in such a way to show yourself strong? And dear friends, I tell you what, the only reason why we're not seeing things like that on a weekly basis in our church is us. Do we truly come to worship? It's all about the worship. Brother Clay, I love you. I wouldn't embarrass you for all the things in the world. When Brother Clay was singing this morning, his voice cracked a little bit. He's been sick. He'd been struggling. But he stood up there to give praise unto God. Boy, it doesn't matter how it comes out. It's about the reason for why we do it. And God has blessed some of us with wonderful voices that stand and sing. God has blessed some of us with the ability to talk and to encourage and be an encourager to other people. And I'm so grateful to pastor a church where so many people encourage me and encourage my wife and ask about our family. It's a blessing. And that's part of the local church. And we need to ask ourselves, we're doing all these things that the Lord have us to do, but is there something missing in my praise? Is there something missing in my worship? Is there something missing in my service that God wants me to develop? Dear friends, since Christ is the builder, he says, I will build my church. That means you can't get into Christ's church unless he puts you in it. You don't get in except by divine appointment. You can't join his church. You have to be joined by him. So how do you get into the New Testament church? There is only one way, and that is by the new birth. You must be born again. You must be born again. First, you must receive Christ as your personal Savior. And I know I'm talking to so many people that have made here tonight have made professions, but John 1:12 tells us, but as many as received them, to them gave he power to be the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And dear friends, if we believe in his name and we are part of the church, we are part of the assembly, we are part of the chosen that God desires to use, people to carry out the Great Commission, people for the operation and function of the church, people that do the singing, that sing in the choir, that greet people when they come in, that lift up their voices. We are people. people that do that together and in unison. But we also need to remember that worship and praise and all the excitement, all the friendliness that takes place here on a Sunday morning needs to not only take place then and on Sunday night and Wednesday, but all through the week. Looking for that opportunity to praise God for his goodness. What makes the church invincible from destruction from Satan and to the powers of local governments is to transform nature of his membership. It is established on divine revelation. Because this dynamic relationship to Christ, we belong to him. We are his. And because of that dynamic relationship that we have in Christ, he desires to use us in a spectacular way. And then as we cover tonight, because of the unique way in which it does its work, meaning the church. Dear friends, I'm excited when it comes to serving the Lord. I'm excited when I see somebody come to know Christ as their personal Savior and God begins to change their life and God begins to transform them. I'm looking forward to seeing that in the coming weeks, months, and years if our Lord tarries his return through here, through Harvest Baptist Church. But we must remember, work and he uses people. Will we say, Lord, here am I. Lord, use me. Next week and the coming weeks, we'll go a little further as we study the local church and we'll look at the aspect of what makes a church great. What is this all about church? What makes a church so great? You may have somebody ask you, well, tell me about your church. Tell me about what's going on at your church. Well, I'll tell you what, right now, I want to add to this. Now, I've only been here a little over a year. But I, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I've begun to see over the last several months a dynamic change within our congregation. I begin to see it take on a little bit of a different personality and a different approach to things. And I'm grateful to see those willing to praise the Lord and get excited and fellowshipping and spending time together. And all those things are good. But not just do we want to be known as the friendly church in a loving church, but we want to be known we're a place where people come to be healed. Yes. Whether it be those who are lost and need to be saved, those who have gotten away from the Lord and have made their way back to be healed and to be whole and to be thriving and serving the Lord. Several years ago, and I'll close with this illustration, I read a book about an author, and I won't share his name because I've learned to come along the way toward the end of his life to disagree with him on some things, but there's some things that was mentioned. He told about a gentleman who pastored a church in Georgia. And before he was pastoring, he was a mailman. And he delivered mail. He was a part of his local church. Of course, he had been saved, growing in the Lord, and God called him to preach. And he decided I'm going to go ahead and surrender whatever God wants me to do. And he resigned, and he left his job short of retirement to go into the ministry. And he didn't have any more sense than to try to be a mail carrier for Jesus when he took his church. A church of a handful of people back in the backwoods of Georgia outside of Atlanta. And he just began to go door to door delivering something else. And God built a church over the next 5 to 7 years from a handful of 30 or 40 people to a church of over 500. And here was the difference when his church. Now, he was well respected and loved by many, but there's others that didn't like him so much. But the word got around in their community and surrounding area that little church that grew so much and went into new building programs was a church that people went to get saved. To the fact, to the point when people had relatives who had come in to visit, people have friends that they haven't seen in years to come in to visit, they would slip out and go to his church instead of their own because it was so well known for the Spirit of God being at work and people went there and they got saved. That's the third thing that I want to add. The Harvest Baptist Church, a place that is loving, a place that is friendly, a place where people go to be healed and to be loved upon, a place where people come to know the Lord and grow in Jesus' name. I think all those things are not only pleasing to the Lord, but I think they're spelled out in what a local church is. It's not a club, it's not an association, it's an assembly of called out believers that come together to worship and to praise God, and to grow in the Lord, and to grow closer together. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we do thank you for your goodness, your blessings, and the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Father, help us as a people as we grow closer to you, as we grow closer together, Father, help us to expand our reach in the sense of not only being that friendly, loving church, but the church where people come to be healed, to be loved on, where people come to grow, and most importantly, where people come to get saved. Father, do a work that only you can do. Use your people of Harvest Baptist Church to make a difference. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right.